So for those of you who've been around for the past few weeks, or maybe it's your first time today, we have been speaking on a Sunday at our gathering about prayer. And I don't know how you view prayer. You may see it as such a key part of your life. You may think, I've never really prayed before. You might not be a person of faith. You may be. I think a journey with prayer can be a little bit complicated sometimes. And something we love to do as part of our talk series is not just hear from myself or hear from one of the other team, but is to hear from people in our community and hear their journey with prayer and hear what they think. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. So I'm going to be hosting a bit of a panel conversation all around prayer. And it's me and the boys today, guys. It's the boys, right? It's me featuring the boys. Yeah? Ready? So I hope you're ready for it. They're not actually boys, they're men, right? Boys to men, literally. So I wonder if you just give it up for them, encourage them as we welcome to the stage Andy, Graham, and Scott. And you can take a seat, guys. Come and sit down. So I'll let them introduce themselves in a minute, but in terms of the different things we've been speaking about, we've talked a little bit about forgiveness in prayer. We've talked about disappointments with prayer. We've kind of had a lot of stuff. And so I thought today would be a good time to kind of consolidate and just really, and this is what we were speaking about backstage before, is hearing some stories of these guys, like joys, triumphs, and like real difficult times in prayer as well. But first of all, actually, just can you each just introduce yourself? Just brief introduction. If you want to say a fun fact about yourself, go for it, but you don't have to.
Okay. that was thrown in right at the last second. My name's Andy, another Andy. I'm not the Andy from before. I'm 56 years old. I can't believe that. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I've got four kids and one very noisy granddaughter. With another grandchild on the way, and I'm an insurance broker, so you can all avoid me afterwards.
Thanks, Andy.
Hello, everybody. My name's Graham. I am not 56 years old. I am married to the wonderful and beautiful Catherine. Oh. We have three children, two boys, Sam 23, Ben 20, and Millie 10, and I'm involved in my family's car business in Wigan.
Brilliant.
So, morning, everyone. I'm Scott. I'm the young one, obviously. You didn't say your age. You should have said your age. What? How old are you?
21.
I nearly swore then, but anyway, there you go.
Is that a rough
one? I'm 45. I'm married to the more beautiful, the more gorgeous Mandy, and we've got four children, and I'm in technology.
Brilliant. Really good. So I think, like, to begin with, one week we kind of spoke around myths around prayer. I'd love to hear from each of you. Actually, Andy, you can start while you've got the mic. Excuse me. What's the biggest myth you've kind of believed, or maybe once believed, around prayer?
Yeah. You know, probably growing up in the dim and distant past, I probably believed prayer was a monologue and not a dialogue. So at school and at church, maybe back in the day, you know, you'd be taught either to that prayer was about a set way of talking to God, or, you know, perhaps in the church environment, you'd hear people give these long, sort of complicated sort of speeches to God, almost with words that I didn't really understand. But as I grew a bit older, I started to realize that wasn't the case, that, like with any conversation, listening to God was just as important, if not more important, than speaking to him. And as I started to listen to God, that this is a really important point, I started to know how to hear his voice, how to recognize his voice. Like anything else, you know, you start to recognize people's voices once you've spoken to them after a bit, and you start to pick that up. And in a world where we're constantly sort of bombarded with different voices wanting our attention and wanting to influence us, knowing which is the voice of God is really important. So that's probably what I've found out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good to hear. Helpful. Because I think we all, you know, whoever you are in here, you will have some kind of belief about prayer. And perhaps we don't always get things 100% accurate, and that can be a barrier. And so when we think about what the myths are, or what the myths have been for these guys, it can be a bit of a cause to help us to be a bit more free or see things a little bit differently. Graham, same to you. What's kind of been the biggest myth for you?
The biggest myth for me, I would say that God answers prayer immediately for you, and that a certain situation in my life of recent, so I've been attending Today's Community Church for just short of 50 years.
I thought you were 21.
Well, I'm a car salesman, so I lie. No, I don't, honestly. But my parents, Nelson and Janice Hogg, they brought me. So we see all these children in here now. And the baby you're bringing now grows up into the 50-year-old father, me. So everything that I'd been planted and had been put into my life through Sunday school or kids' church and then the youth group and then finding my wife in the youth group and then being married now for 24 years and attending Today's Community Church from being a baby to being a 50-year-old man soon is that God answers your prayers immediately. And I'd got to a point last year where I'm going to tell you a story now. So a certain situation and scenario in my life had been going on for some time. And I came to a point where I'd been praying about this particular situation for quite a number of years. And because God wasn't answering my prayer, I'd come to the conclusion that God didn't answer prayer anymore. And he didn't answer my prayer anymore. And the point that it was affecting my whole world because God wasn't answering my prayer in my time and how I wanted it answering. And so that had a negative effect on my life. So I started to withdraw from attending certain aspects of the church. I started to stop volunteering in certain things that I was involved in. And it came to a point where I cried out to God and I said, God, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm off. And I was ready for jacking everything in. And that's a 48-year relationship with Jesus Christ. I was still reading and praying. Funny that, isn't it? I was still praying every day and still listening to God. But because it wasn't happening how I wanted it to happen, I was ready for chucking it and going just do my own thing. So I went and saw my earthly father, and I just said to him, Dad, I said, I've had enough. I said, I'm ready for binning all of this. And do you know what he said to me? Right, come on, let's pray about it. So I thought, is God having a laugh here at me or what? In one sense, I'm ready for jacking and binning it because it's not working out how I think it's going to work out. And so we prayed about it. And do you know, since then, I didn't give in because I didn't go off my feelings. You know, we've never gone, and I've never been taught to run my life off my feelings because my feelings change. You know, it's like seasons. We're in a season. And Miriam Wood said this to me a couple of months ago, and I'll say this because it changed my life. She won't know all that. But she said, Graham, you're only in a season. A season's only 3 months, and that's why we have seasons. And so I carried on. And, you know, Ben brought the Mantle series. Mm. And this was just before Ben brought the Mantle series. And you know, there's a lot of things I had to burn. And I never went back. And some of those were life-changing. Yeah. And it's changed my life that I didn't chuck what I thought I was chuck, that I didn't go off my feelings. Mm. God answered my prayers. And you know now, I felt God say to me, and this is, you know, you'll make you laugh this. I felt he said to me, I'll show you. I'll answer your prayers.
Thanks, Graham. Thanks for sharing that as well. We're just humans, aren't we? I think sometimes, I know it sounds like an obvious thing, sometimes we've got to remember we're human. And also from my perspective as a person of faith, we need God. Like, we actually need him. And that's part of our design. Scott, biggest myth.
Myth, wow. It's quite a few, isn't there, I think. But I'm going to, a really good friend of mine, he's a Hindu guy, and he always says to me, he always says that, are you going to church on Sunday? And I always say, yeah, yeah. He goes, do us a favour, will you pray for me? And I just, you know, there's two things in there, isn't there? There's one, you don't have to be of faith to pray.
That's right.
God's here for all of everyone. Everyone, doesn't matter who you are. He's here for everyone. You know, talk to him. And then also church, he's not just in this building. Mm. He's not restricted to this building. He's everywhere, isn't he? And he's with us all the time. And it's a conversation, isn't it? That's, I grew up like these guys in church, and flipping out, the church that I went to, it was like Olympic gold medal for praying. It was ridiculous. You know, you'd have people who could do scripture, you speak in a different language, you know, it was just mental, you know. So, and I'm sat there thinking, wow, I just can't do any of that. But what I realized, God loves to chat with me. Yeah. He loves just to say hello to me. So when I pray, I am reverent, but there's times where it's like, hey, Jesus, what's going on? I need your help. I've got a problem. Mm. Or this is funny. Let's have a laugh about that. And that's one thing, I think, for me, that I know there's time to be serious in prayer. And, you know, quite often it is serious, but it's a relationship. So it's a, I want to have a laugh as well with God. Mm. It's a funny situation. So I'm going to be honest with you. This last probably 2 months, tough times at work, tough conversations. And I'm a bit of a sulker, so Mandy will attest to this, and probably some of my friends, I'm a bit of a sulker. And so I sulk with God, you know. I wish I had that helmet, you know, off the X-Men, where he couldn't read my mind, because, you know, but he infiltrates my mind. It's a bit bizarre. Anyway, so I'm sat there, I'm going, I'm not praying. I'm just not praying. I'm just not doing it. I'm not speaking to you. And then Rachel rings me and goes, do you want to go on the panel to talk about prayer, Scott? And I was in the car the other day, and I'm having this conversation in my head, and I just burst out laughing, and I knew God was laughing with me, going, see, you're an idiot, get on with it.
Brilliant. Okay, Graham, I want to just jump back to you. So now that you've confessed your age, we also know you've been a person of faith for a long time, so not just in terms that you've been brought up in the church, but actually you've had a personal relationship with God yourself for many years, many decades. How do you keep conversation with God fresh in that? Because, life is seasons, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, even we think about people we're close to, we have conversations that are great, they're exciting. Other times it's like a bit bored or feel not fresh. Like, how have you stayed fresh in prayer, I guess, is my question.
Good question. I think if I said a seasoned long Christian, that sounds, it makes me sound old, that, but, I am old, but as a middle-aged man, my life, I've always lived by this scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So if we seek God's kingdom first in our lives, and we ask him, as young people, if we ask him what he's thinking about, because he says in the Bible that he's got plans for our lives. He says he's got works for us that he has already prepared for us to do. Now, it's my interest then to find out what those works are and to go on, as Andy's been up here with the kids, that adventure with him. Because every day is different. And so, how do I keep it fresh? That's a good one. So, Lyft this week, if you were at Lyft on Tuesday evening, that's keeping it fresh. God was just there. You could touch him. You could feel him. You could see him, respectively. It was amazing. So I encourage you to attend those things. You know, this book, which I picked up here, I don't know if you remember a couple of months ago, Hannah said there was a load of books in this bottom corner here. And I went and got this book. It was just there. And I got the thinnest one I could find. Because unlike my daughter, I'm not really a good reader. But I like reading, don't get me wrong. So this book is called Do You Pray? And you know, as a Christian of all these years, I read it because it's only like 3 pages a chapter. And I could say I've read a chapter today because it's only 3 pages. But it just challenged me that if we don't have that conversation, yes, I've been married 24 years, but if I didn't speak to my wife for the last 20, It's not much of a marriage. And a bit like Andy just said, it's a conversation. Scott says it's a conversation. So yeah, I converse. I know it sounds bonkers, this. And when I say it, I feel like, but yes, God talks to me every day. I talk to him every day. So I bring things before him every day. What do you think about this, God? So like Scott said, he's had some challenges at work. So if I bring my issues before God, before I make my decisions on what I'm going to do, then he's going to help me and he's going to guide me through those situations, through those areas of life where I'm unsure about what the purpose of me being in this scenario is. He knows that because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows the outcome. He knows what he wants to have happen in my life through that situation. And you know, 9 times out of 10, most of these things are not for our benefit, but they're for the other people's benefit. They're for my family's benefit because they're seeing how dad's reacting to this particular scenario, that he's not going drinking a bottle of whiskey to get himself through it, that he's bringing these things before God. My children's challenges, we bring them before God. We pray about them before God, even though they don't pray. I'm sure they don't, but we've just got to remind our children to pray. No matter what age they are, they can have God in their life and in their challenge. And then again, my daily reading, I start my day. I had a wonderful 82-year-old man buy a car off me. And he comes in every couple of weeks for a coffee and he sits and we talk. He goes to a Church of England church in Prescott. And he brings me a book every 2 months called The Upper Room. And it's just like a daily reading. And he buys it me. And that gentleman doesn't know how much that book means to me. But he's just being faithful in paying £1.25 in the Church of England church that he goes to. He brings me this book and I read it every day, scripture, and that keeps me fresh as well. And also a question I always ask myself quickly is that, God, what are you saying to me and what am I going to do about it? So in everything you do, if there's nothing else, when you start a conversation with God, God will say to you something and then you have to practically do something about it. Because if you don't, it's like anything. It's not two-way.
Yeah. Brilliant. I think that's a great point. Many people have faith in here, but if you're kind of starting that conversation with God, that's a great place to start. God, like, what are you saying? Like, speak to me. And then when you listen, what can I do about it as well? Shifting gear a little bit, Andy. Say I know you relatively well. And I know a bit of your story. And I know you... like, you're good at praying for specific things, right? One thing we spoke about the last few weeks, I think it was Siobhan, who's part of our team, incidentally your wife as well. So Siobhan was speaking about having, I'm going to get this the wrong way around now, but we'll get the essence of it, essentially a constant, conscious communion with God. So an ongoing conversation, essentially, an ongoing awareness of him being there, speaking to him, listening to him. Has the kind of... in your life, have there been any seasons where you've had to move from very specific prayers to just being more comfortable or being able to foster more that constant, conscious communion with God? And can you tell us about it if there have been?
Sure, yeah. I'm quite a specific person by nature. I'm very detail orientated, and anybody that's ever worked with me will know, probably to a fault, really. But so I've always been really good at very specific prayers. So in specific situations, I can sort of very visual, so I can see what the issues are and what needs praying for and those kind of things. But if I'm honest, that's sometimes been quite sporadic. So, you know, I'll pray for specific stuff when it arises, but that constant conversation with God has been a little bit ebbing and flowing a little bit. But there's been a couple of times in my life where I've learned that I needed to have that constant communion with God, and no surprise to most people, because everybody goes through this kind of stuff, it's when you're struggling that sort of that comes into your mind. When you come to the end of yourself, you realize there's only God. And that probably the most recent example, a couple of years ago, I had some sort of physical health challenges which triggered in me some mental health problems that got actually quite severe, and I'm it totally freaked me out because I've never been ill and I've never had mental health issues. And I had both at the same time. So totally sort of knocked me sideways, I think is probably the right way to put it, really. So I actually got to the point where it wasn't necessarily that I chose to have a constant conscious communion with God. I got to the end of myself, and there was only God. And I found myself daily, hourly, sometimes minutely, crying out to him saying, God, I need you. God, you know, I'm at the end of myself. I've got nothing. You know, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to sort of, you know, carry me through. You're going to have to, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and it was that sort of constant conversation that helped me really refine my hearing of God as well, not just talking to him, but hearing him. And sometimes, you know, we think conversation has to be, you know, in depth and complex. I actually got to the point where I was just crying out to him. I was just saying, you know, I didn't have any words. I was like, but God knows what's going on inside us better than we do. So, you know, it was like, yeah, no, I know, I'm here, I'm here. And you know, we read Psalm 23 quite often, don't we? And we comfort ourselves with the, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures and all that, which is true. That's all good stuff. But then there's that bit about walking through the valley of the shadow of death in there. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're about to die. It means it's a very dark place. And you can't see one foot in front of the other. And it's actually talking about God as a shepherd. And a funny story, we've moved sort of slightly out into the country now, and I've suddenly become obsessed with sheep. It's very weird. Because we look out over these fields where there's these sheep, and I've suddenly become a shepherd, like, expert on, oh, what kind of sheep is that? Oh, yeah, that's a such and such sheep. And, yeah, you know, we went to Lancashire Show when I was looking at all the sheep and all that. And but the whole of that psalm is about God as a shepherd and us as his sheep. And, you know, when sheep follow the shepherd, they're quite dumb, a bit like we are. And they go in a line. So that the first sheep follows the shepherd because the shepherd's putting his feet where he knows is the right place to go. And then the other sheep just follow that sheep sort of thing. And that's really where I got to. It's like, God, I can't see anything. I can't see anything in front of me. You know, you're going to have to lead me because I've no idea. I'm totally lost. I'm in the dark. I don't know what's going on. And that was where I learned that constant discussion. God, are you still there? Yes, I'm here. God, are you still there? Yes, I'm here. I'm leading you through. And so it's really, you know, and sometimes you're sort of saying, God, you know, why are you not taking me out of this situation? And sometimes he doesn't take us out of the situation. He takes us through it. And there's a reason behind that. And often we go, God, you know, there's anybody who's watched, what's the film? Bruce Almighty. Have you ever watched Bruce Almighty? And God says to Bruce, he says, I'm only doing this because I love you. And Bruce says, do me a favor, love me less. sort of thing. And I felt very much like that. Yeah, thanks God, but love me less. But it really taught me to rely on God. You know, even through especially through the darkest times. So that was really where it came
really
from.
Really good, Andy. And I think we were saying as well, like prayer, we know prayer changes things, but what always happens is prayer always changes us. Prayer doesn't always change things in the way we hope sometimes, but it always changes us. Scott, we chatted briefly before. I wonder if you just tell us a little bit about your journey with prayer. I think particularly from yours and Mandy's perspective when you were starting a family, I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, so I think we've had some challenges in the past, not with each other, I don't think, but Mandy's actually been pregnant 10 times, don't know how many people know that, and during that time when it was really difficult, losing baby after baby after baby, and you kind of go, what are you doing, God? What's going on here? And the thing is what I've learned in life actually is that you kind of get more access to knowledge, but you have less and less answers to the questions. And I don't know why that happened, and I don't know why good things happen. I don't know why bad things happen. What I do know is that God's in control. Mm. And what did happen was our miracle son was born, Solomon. And he was genuinely a miracle. I think we had 4 miscarriages before him. And that was a really sad time. It actually brought me and Mandy closer together. So God always has a plan. He always turns it back. And so me and Mandy are solid. We're together. We've got 4 beautiful children now. But Solomon was that first miracle. Mm-hmm. And that was because of prayer.
Yeah.
So it wasn't probably me praying because I was doing my sulky thing again. But it was my mum. My mum was like, praying. She kept on saying to me, "You just got to keep on praying. You just got to keep on." I'm thinking, "Oh, this is nonsense. I'm not going to do that." But because someone else prayed, I really do believe that God turned up. And you know, it's all about timing, isn't it? And what do we know? I mean, I'm not a big public prayer. So if you ask me to pray now, I drop the mic and run off. So don't
Scott,
ask me to pray.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, good one. I don't mind if someone asks me. I'm cool about it, but I'm not. And I think it's because of comparisons. We talked about it before. Like, you look at other people and, like, the Olympic gold medalists for praying are like, you know, they come up with scripture and everything else. I'm not that guy. I'm a really private prayer. So I love to be in my thin place, which is actually in my car. So when I'm in my car, alone with my thoughts, with God, I just have a conversation with him, and that's how I pray. I talk to him like he's my friend. So I do talk to him, dear Father, but I also say, "Hey Jesus, what's going on? I need some support," and all that, like I said before. But yeah, so my thin place is my car, and there's been so many times when God has turned up in that car on my way to work. Believe me, honestly, you know, and we talk about the audible voice of God. I've never heard his voice like what we think, but he's definitely turned up and spoke to me. And that's one example of prayer over a long period of time with a load of pain. But actually, it all worked out.
Yeah.
And God had us all the way through that. It's made us stronger as a couple. It's made us stronger as a family. We can also relate to other people as well. So I think that's incredible, really, what God can do.
Amazing story. Yeah. So helpful as well. So, Graham, you talked a little bit about your work, and we've been talking about like prayer bringing direct results as well. Because sometimes we don't see everything we want in prayer. Sometimes it's like we can't deny that through prayer there's been a breakthrough. Can you think of like a story just in your work where you've prayed about something, and then there's been a change, and you're like, it's not coincidence. It's not kind of like hard work. It's a direct result of prayer.
So when Rach sent me this question. Through reading this, God was challenging me to be available at any time. So when God says something to you, he always expects a response. And so I was thinking about how do I, in a showroom environment, okay, so come to our showroom. If you want to buy a car, it's near Sainsbury's. And nine till six. Go to the website. But so I was thinking, how do you really be practical and pray for somebody in a showroom or in a garage environment? So if you work at Asda, so I was thinking, how do you do that? God, how am I going to do that? Anyway, I got a phone call from a gentleman in Scotland, and he came down to buy a car from me. And in the conversation of buying cars, selling cars, he asked me, was I a Christian? He asked why Alpha Motors was called Alpha Motors. So I explained when my dad started it all those years ago, the reason. So he then told me he was also a Christian. So we chatted about things, his church, our church, youth work. He was involved in youth work in his church, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, invested in myself, I was thinking, so I'm thinking, what's going on here? So he bought the car, obviously, and as he's about to drive away, we've done the deal, he's paid for the car, I've shook his hand, he's sat in the car, I've showed him the switches, blah, blah, blah. He put the window down, and he said, "Graham, before I go, do you mind if I just prayed for you and the business?" And I was completely gobsmacked. Mm. And he just said, I said, yeah, of course you can, mate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all he did, he had his seatbelt on with his window down. And I'm laughing inside at this point, because at this point, I'm thinking, how can I do this? Mm. How easy or hard would it be? He's a total stranger that God's brought from Scotland to buy a car off me to show me how easy it is for me to pray in my business environment. A couple of weeks later, one of the guys who I work with was just having some issues. And again, it just in a practical situation, we're lining cars up on the forecourt, putting the price banners in them. And he starts to tell me about, he'd had a breakdown earlier, which we know about because I'd worked with him for 16 years. And he was telling me about some stuff that was going on and he was feeling anxious about it. And I just said to him, I said, Gaz, do you want me to pray about it? And he said, yeah. And all I did was put my hand in there and I said a little prayer, and then we carried on lining cars up on the forecourt. Mm. And so there's like a little practical story of, you know, just how easy it is to pray for people who God's put within your world, who you're working with.
Yeah, so good. So it's so helpful. I think sometimes we're guilty of thinking about prayer as being a passive thing. You know, people say like, I'll pray about it. And if they actually mean it, we feel sometimes a bit irritated. It's like, where's the action? You know, when there's faith involved, prayer is an action as well. And so I think recognizing that when we pray, we start to say, God, I want to have more opportunities to pray for people, or whatever it is, we've kind of got to be ready for God to show us that, and that's the faith aspect where we activate our faith and go, okay, God, I'm kind of expecting you to do something now. And then sometimes, you know, you send somebody from Scotland, like the craziest thing. But you start to see that God, you start to trust God and say, wow, that prayer worked there. Like there was something real about that. Last question to Andy. It's going to sound like I'm taking it on a downward turn. I'm not. But I think the reality is, like, I've experienced disappointments with prayer. I've prayed for something, and I've really believed something's going to happen, and it's not. And it really tests your faith. It's difficult. And I know I represent a lot of people in the room. It's like, there are kind of difficult parts of prayer sometimes where either we feel God's not heard us, or perhaps he doesn't act in a way that we expect him to. So I guess my question is, not why does that happen, because that's so existential, but how have you dealt with disappointments in prayer? How have you dealt with any disappointments that you've had?
That's a very good question. A couple of quick examples, really. Scott was saying earlier on how God's got a sense of humor, and he definitely has. If you've never had a laugh with God, I recommend it highly. He's got an excellent sense of humor, so, and this will illustrate it. So I've been in my current job actually 20 years last month. And it's about that job that the story goes. So just before I started in this job, I got offered the job. It was like sort of November time. And I was in a good job at the time, and I was enjoying what I was doing. I was very good at it, and everybody thought, you know, knows what he's doing, all that kind of stuff. So I didn't really need to move, but somebody offered me a job. And so I said to God, look, God, I'm coming to you for advice. You know, do you want me to take the job? What should I do? Nothing. God, I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about this job that I've been offered. I know you're busy, but really could do with knowing whether I should take it, because they're going to get fed up with me and they're going to want an answer. Nothing. Okay. So I'm thinking, well, I haven't got a definite yes, and I'm happy where I am, sort of thing. So I just left it. I said, look, I don't think it's for me at the minute. 6 months later, I was on my way down to Southampton, and my boss phoned me and said, I want you to come back to the office. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, we've got a meeting first thing in the morning. Okay. Went in the office the next morning, and they announced in front of everybody, sorry, we've had a change of strategy, you're all redundant. I was like, wow, fabulous, that's great. So I was like, God, what's going on here? This is ridiculous. I've now no job. I had two jobs potentially before. Now I have no job. What's going on? within 24 hours, the people that had offered me the job 6 months ago said, you know, the job we offered you 6 months ago, well, that one's not available now, we filled that, but we've got a better one. Would you like to come and join us? I was like, well, I haven't really got anything else on, so I think I will. And, you know, this is the bit of the sense of humour of God. Not only did I get a better job than the job I was going to have 6 months earlier, but I got 15 years redundancy payment as well.
That's awesome.
And God was like, yeah. So I realised from that, you know, sometimes when we feel God's just not answering, we're hearing nothing. It's not that he's saying no. He might be just saying, not yet. Because you know what? I'm going to do something that's going to give glory to me. Not give glory to you because you think, oh, I'm great. Everybody wants me sort of thing. And, you know, incredible. And the second thing about the sort of dealing with disappointment, again, going back to my illness, my mental health and physical health illness, you know, a couple of years ago, as I was saying, I was crying out to God, take me out of this situation, you know, take it away from me. I can't bear it. It's too much. I can't deal with it, all that sort of stuff. And as I was saying, sometimes God takes you through things. Yes, for the sake of being able to trust him, but also because it then enables you to minister to other people.
Yeah.
So out off the back of that, the number of particularly men that I've been able to talk to, and it's just come up in conversation. You know, I've been having some mental health issues, I've been struggling, you know, and until you've been through, it's one of those kind of things, until you've been through it, because I had no idea, I'd never had mental health problems. Until you've been through it, it's difficult to empathize with. So you can sympathize with them, but it's difficult to empathize with them. But the way God has been able to bring people into my world that have been in similar situations, and some people you would never dream they'd have had those kind of issues because they're so good at, you know, putting a mask on. But God's used it for his glory. So, you know, so that's...
Yeah, that's brilliant. This has been, I mean, for me, this has been so helpful. We've only had half an hour, guys, and I know we're trying to, like, shove all these years of wisdom and, like, journey in a few short minutes, but, yeah, thanks all of you for sharing kind of your story. You know, just to encourage you as we're going to hand over, Hannah's going to come up and just lead us in a minute, and the team are going to lead us. Wherever you are, whether you are feeling a deep disappointment with prayer, whether you're feeling elated because you're speaking to God, I just want to bring us back to that thing of a constant, conscious communion with God. It is so key if you're a person of faith to hear from God, to speak with him. But, you know, we've made that. I feel like sometimes we've put so many barriers around that we've made it such an occasion rather than just saying, you know what, if I want to walk with God for my life, I'm going to chat to him in the car. I'm going to laugh with him. I'm going to cry. Sometimes I'm going to shout at him. Guess what? God can handle you shouting at him. Sometimes I say to God, no, like, this is who you are. God, show yourself. There are times in life where just like our conversations are different with people we love, our conversation with God changes. The key is that in every season, we lean in and speak to God, and we just say, God, I'm here. I think you're here. Sometimes I'm like, God, where are you? He's here. He's listening. You know, ultimately, he loves us. He desires for us to live in freedom. So I guess my encouragement is just lean into him again. And maybe if it's for the first time, just do what Graham said before. Ask God, God, what are you saying to me right now? And what do you want me to do with it? So I wonder if you could be up standing. We're going to give it up for these guys. I'm going to hand over to Hannah. Thank you so much.